But we'll welcome in our first guest here this morning, Senator Mike Jacobson. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing well. You get pulled over?
I'm pulled over.
Not by the police, on your own accord.
No. We've got a meeting. It starts at 8:30, and I'm parked across the street from where the meeting's located.
Okay.
And it's 41 degrees here in Lincoln.
No. Very good.
And I think it's heading up. So I didn't bring my coat, so just so you know. But I'm planning on it being warm.
Were you at the farm by any chance this weekend?
I was not, but I can tell you that where that happened is a mile from the farm.
Right. There was a Tanner's looking at me like, what?
Yeah.
We had an earthquake that epicentered near Cowles, Nebraska, which is down near his land. And
actually, that's quite a bit south of me. I thought you were talking about the murder suicide.
Oh no, I was more positive than that.
Yeah. all right.
But it was like a 2.8 that epicenter.
Really?
Down there, and that's barely enough to rattle anything.
Oh. Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, Cowles is pretty much just north of.
Is it north
of Red Cloud?
Yeah.
Very familiar with it. I had a customer that lived at Cowles, back when I first got started in banking, and he raised pigs. And he had one of these deals. He had a quarter section of ground that was fenced hog tight, and he turned the sows out and he turned the boars out and he rounded up the pigs when they were ready for market.
Doing it about the natural way there.
Yeah, I think it'd be fairly inefficient, but nonetheless, that's the way he always did it. So so good luck on doing an inspection and counting pigs when they're on a quarter section. So,
yeah. Senator Mike Jacobs here, joining us on Husker Radio's Mugs in the Morning. Before we get into any legislature, you did receive an award. We did the release we got from the, I think it was Travel Association, didn't say what, they discredited you for fighting some bills and fighting away some bills. So we were curious on what those might have been.
Well, that was, I think that was 2 years ago, or maybe it was last year. It's all running together these days, but the governor had a plan to first of all, sweep $5 million out of the travel and tourism's that cash fund. And so that was, the problem is that's money that was paid in from occupation taxes paid by the hotel operators across the state. And so that didn't seem to be quite what made sense. In fact, the tourism department was wanting to really look at a new slogan and do some other statewide initiatives, and that's why they were holding on to $5 million. So I talked to Senator Clements and said, hey, we can't be doing that. You're going to have to leave that money alone. So they agreed to do that. And then the next thing was they were wanting to put the tourism under Department of Economic Development. And I said, no, that's a bad idea, too. I think that tourism's a big industry in Nebraska. I think that the Department of Economic Development has its hands full with what they're doing today. There's a reason that they're a standalone, and they need to continue that way. So they agreed to that. Although the compromise was that they wanted to be able to put a person from DED and a person from the state chamber on the tourism board. And so I agreed to that, and so that's what we did moving forward. And a lot of it, there were several senators that were still upset about the slogan, Nebraska, frankly, it's not for everyone, or something to that effect.
I can understand that, but it's growing on you. You know, it does. When I first heard it, I thought, what? But it grows on you.
Well, I would tell you, it did get a lot of attention for the state,
I
think many would say that it was successful, although I don't know it's really what we wanted out there. I think the good life and slogans like that seem to be more Nebraskan, you know. I'm kind of okay on Nebraska nice, but I don't know. At the end of the day, tourism does so many other things. I look at the passport program and all the and how many people we've gotten to Nebraska simply because of the passport program and the number of people in state that instead of going on vacation somewhere out of state, they decide they're gonna go to all the passport stops. And
that's
so
that's a big thing. There's a lot of people that do that.
Well, they really are, and I think it's I think that tourism is doing a great job for Nebraska. It's like anything; you can always do better. But I think they've got a great board, and and they're committed, and they're motivated, and they wouldn't be if they were under DED or there was a whole bunch of other bureaucracy. So that was the deal. It was the Frank B. Morrison Award, and I guess it's something they don't give every year, and. So I appreciate the award, but that's not why I do it. I came down here to do the right thing, and this didn't seem like the right thing by making those changes. So there's a few other things I'm still working on too down here. So anyhow, hey, that's what it was about.
They probably wouldn't take my slogan for the state, you know, Nebraska nice or it's not for everybody. Probably better than what I have. So. Mine is Nebraska. Yeah. We got a good thing going. Stay away.
There you go.
Well, what can you tell us you can plan on this week at the state legislature, Mike?
Well, I've had this week. I don't know whether we'll get daylight savings time back again or not this week, but it'll be coming up probably before too long. Probably just to share with you a little bit, this was kind of what we did last week. We did move both bills forward. One bill from Senator Hunt would go to year-round daylight savings time, but it would take Congress would have to agree to go to year-round daylight savings time for it to be effective. Then Senator Merman brought a bill that would be year-round standard time, and then Congress would allow us to do that at any time. But the caveat we put in place was at least three other states around us would also have to adopt the standard time. My understanding is that Colorado has already voted to go to year-round daylight savings time once it's permissible. And my understanding is Wyoming's looking to do the same thing. I credit Todd Von Kampen for the work that he's done on looking at that. And, of course, one of the real challenges we have in Nebraska is we have a timeline running through the state separating Central and Mountain Time. And so we're right at the epicenter of where it really kind of matters, okay? So we're at the extremes. And, unfortunately, it runs right through the state between North Platte and Paxton rather than on the state border, so that is a little more challenging. I know when Julie and I first moved to North Platte, we found it interesting that you'd see people advertising times for events, and you'd see Mountain Time and Central Time advertised if it was west of North Platte. So when I think of the practical piece of this, if Nebraska would go to permanent standard time, and then we would see Colorado go to permanent daylight savings time. And I know for some reason I'm getting a lot of feedback. I'm getting an echo, if you will.
Oh, we'll see what we can do here.
I think that's better.
Good.
Am I still on?
Yes. All right. Tanner was over there doing his magic.
There you have it. All right. So I think that when... So if we went to that way, if we went to standard time, Colorado went to daylight savings time, then basically Nebraska and Colorado would be on the same time, okay? Because they're an hour behind us, so then they would be right there with us. We'd be at the same time. But we've got that hole in the donut between where the time zone changes and the Colorado border, where they'd be an hour behind both of us. which would be kind of weird.
That would be strange.
so you travel west, and you're gonna flip twice in a matter of, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah, probably less than that. Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. So that would take some getting used to. But I have, after thinking more, originally, I've kind of grown up on a farm. I always liked the more light in the summertime. That's what I always liked about daylight savings time. But I think there's a strong consensus that people do not want to be changing their clocks, that it's time to stop that nonsense, stop the craziness, and let's go to just one time. And if we're going to go to one time, I didn't realize this, according to Senator Berman, there was a time when we were on year-round daylight savings time, and people didn't like it, and we went back to standard time, that's when we went to changing the clocks. But according to the medical science and medical doctors and work that's been done, there is a serious medical issue when we're changing our clocks, and it does create, we're talking heart attacks. It really messes with certain people when we're moving our clocks back and forth. And so as a result of that, I think most everyone agrees that we need to go to one time and stick with it. And as I've thought about it more, as much as I like daylight savings time, I think that probably permanent standard time is the direction to go. And unless I hear a huge outcry from constituents, that's likely the bill I'm going to support is going to permanent standard time. Because if we're on permanent daylight savings time, the end of January, the sun wouldn't rise until 9 o'clock in the morning. That seems a tad late. Okay, now
for a morning show guy, that seems a tad late. I would agree.
However, when you go to standard time, you're also going to find that, it's getting dark out at 6 o'clock. So,
right.
It's still pick your poison. That's why we went to daylight savings time to begin with. But I do have a lot of people that say, hey, I thought you were down there to fix our taxes, and why are you worried about daylight savings time? And they make a good point, okay? But I think fixing the taxes takes a lot of other bills to get done to be able to get in a position to where we can do more. I want to make this note, and I'll probably write about this here in another week or so in a column, but I want everyone to understand that why is it so difficult to lower property taxes? And think about this for a minute. Obviously, everyone knows that property taxes are local. So it's local political subdivisions that can charge property taxes, but the state cannot. So then the state provides subsidies to local political subdivisions, school districts in particular, to offset some of the costs for property taxes. So here's the number you want to think about. Over the last several years, we would need to, the total cost of property taxes for every political subdivision across the state, okay, if you add them all together, it's $240 million a year that they go up. Okay, that's inflationary. And what other increases are happening? So your local property taxes collectively across the state go up by $240 million a year. So if the state of Nebraska were to provide $240 million a year in subsidy to political subdivisions, your property taxes would be flat where they are today. But we'd have to come up with $240 million additional money every year. So that's how big the problem is. And ultimately, we've got to be able to generate more revenue. There are cuts that need to be made. Don't get me wrong. But we're not going to cut our way to prosperity. It's going to take a combination of cuts but it's also going to take more revenue by growing our base, our tax base. We've got to get more people living in Nebraska. We've got to get more people working in Nebraska. And particularly, we've got to have more people paying taxes in Nebraska. And that means if we want the people living here today to pay less in taxes, we need to be more people here paying taxes so that collectively we can raise the same money by all of us paying less. And that's really the secret to tax policy. So then the question becomes, how do you grow the state? And that's what we've got to really focus on. That's one reason why travel and tourism, I believe, is important. To the extent that we can get people living here, we should do that. I think that we've also got to be very careful about creating an opportunity for businesses to prevail in Nebraska. And part of that comes from having lower income taxes than our neighboring states. And that's why I've supported lowering income taxes, because that will help spur companies to come to Nebraska and pay property taxes. So it's a complicated mess. It's not going to happen overnight. We didn't get here overnight. But I think we have to have a solid plan as to how we fix it. And I've been a little frustrated, particularly with the state chamber, on really not having a real coherent plan as to how we're going to grow the state. And I think that's unfortunate. Until they do that, and we should really get on the same page, we're going to have a hard time prospering in Nebraska and getting our tax base lower, or getting our base higher and our taxes lower. So so that's my soapbox for this morning. But it's been interesting. I did get two bills that got passed on final reading last week. My rock bill, which the geologist will want me saying that, I don't think, but it's a geologist bill, was brought by a constituent over in Maxwell. We worked on it last summer, got it introduced early, and that bill did pass on final reading and is heading to the governor's desk for signature. And then I also had a bill that's a cleanup bill on a firefighter bill, and that bill passed on final reading this past week. I've got another bill up this week, bills that are continuing to move on select file. So right now is the time you want to keep bills moving, because if you can move bills this week or here early, they can get to the finish line without a prioritization. Any bills that are still stuck in committee, they're likely going to take a speaker, either a senator priority or a committee priority or a speaker priority to get heard if they don't come out of committee in the next week or so. And maybe even then you'll need a priority before that, because there'll be so many bills on the available to be heard that the speaker's then going to look at priority bills first. And then part of it's going to depend on how fast our debate goes. If we avoid filibusters, we'll hear more bills. If we deal with filibusters, we're going to hear fewer bills. So,
very well.
So that's what I got for this morning.
We probably ought to let you get going. You got 3 minutes to run across the street and get your seat in the meeting.
I usually jaywalk here, so that would help.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.